Hi, this is Violet Lang. Welcome to my podcast, The Pleasure Path, all about love, dating, relationships, and femininity. I help successful, spiritual women find their pleasure and their power to create healthy partnership. Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm Violet, and today I want to talk about love, but not the kind that we're sold, not the kind wrapped in fantasy or pressure or performance, but the kind of love that lives in the body, lives in the heart, and is actually sustainable. The other night, Jason and I went to a play together, and it wasn't something extravagant. It was just at our local theater. It wasn't a big gesture, but it was so fun. And it reminded me of how sweet it is to choose each other again and again, and to keep leaning into our relationship and leaning into the romance. And whether you're single or whether you're in partnership, I hope that you have discovered or are in the process of discovering that love isn't really built in the grand moments, these fantasies that we see on Instagram or movies. Love is built in coherence. That means when our heart, our head, our body are all integrated, when our field, be it our ancestral field, our cultural field, our spiritual field, is aligned with our truth and with our values. This type of love means we stay instead of armoring and getting defensive, and we set boundaries and leave when we need to. It's a type of love where we regulate with someone instead of trying to just always regulate with ourselves. And it's a type of love where our patterns can soften and we can see ourselves and our purpose and our soul path so much more clearly. And the reason I feel passionate about this right now is because, you know, we're just surrounded by stories about what love is supposed to look like, who we're supposed to be with, and how it's supposed to arrive, or how hard or easy it's supposed to be. And I think it's time that we honor something different. Instead of these false stories about love, instead of chemistry and the unavailable person all of a sudden becoming available, to see love in a different way, to see it as a path of initiation, which just means a path of becoming our best self in love. And that means every date, every glance, every fight is part of what prepares us and opens us for deeper and deeper love and deeper alignment. I think it's important to actually name these false stories that we're talking about, because we all might have heard a different one or kind of latched on to a different one. Some of you who are listening have been sold this myth that, oh, there's only one person out there for me, and therefore I really need to be picky. I need to wait until they're just right, or it feels just right. And believe me, I love my intuition. I love my feelings. But there were plenty of times when I was dating Jason where it didn't feel perfect. I was like, oh, this thing feels off, or that thing doesn't feel 100% in my body. But I kept going, not out of desperation, but because there was enough truth and alignment and synchronicity and joy and passion and really feeling like I was met, feeling spiritual sparks, intellectual sparks, all the things. But that doesn't mean that I always felt easy. So I want to bust the myth that there's just one, or that you're going to know instantly when it is the one, in quotations. The problem with that myth is it keeps us outsourcing our agency. We're like, oh, it's up to God who's my partner, or it's up to, the algorithm on the apps who my partner is. And it's really up to us. It's through our inner work. I have said this over and over, so you've probably heard me say this on the podcast or in one of my programs. Becoming a woman of love and who we are on the inside is more important than following the right strategy, or, you know, texting the exact right thing, or using the right emoji, or having something funny on our profile. Like, it's really about this integration that happens as we become deeper and deeper on our path of becoming love and creating love. So another false story I want to share about is, oh, if it's aligned, it's effortless. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier when I was talking about dating Jason. I think that there can be a sense of ease, but it doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. You know, I really had to learn two sides of the same coin, one of which was to be vulnerable, to share my truth, to not hold back how I was feeling, even the really hard feelings that were very uncomfortable to talk about that I didn't think I was supposed to feel or let alone express, like rage, jealousy, despair, frustration, disgust, and sometimes even just joy and innocence. It was like, oh, I don't know if I can bring that if I'm just supposed to be being seductive, or, you know, I'm super nerdy. Like, I have a big intellect and I love geeking out on spiritual topics. And I guess I just learned to hide a lot of aspects of myself over the course of my life. And so it was effortful, it was not easy to reveal more than I'd ever revealed to anyone else in my partnership with him. And I continue to reveal. And at the same time, to take responsibility for my emotions and not get lost in the rage or the despair or the disgust, to bring them to my partner, but not expect him to fix them, to be able to move those energies through my body so that I can show up in devotion to myself and bringing my best self to everything that I do. So it's not that it's full of effort, but there is a level of devotion and discipline in some ways to lean into love and to co-create love. Even if you are already in a good place with someone, it's a sustaining thing. And it becomes easier over time as you build something that has a really good foundation. Another story about love that I think is false is that chemistry equals compatibility. I mean, you've probably gone on one of those dates with someone online where you're like, oh my gosh, I love his profile and he looks so cute. And I just can't wait to like meet up. And then you meet up and you think, what was I thinking? I don't know why I had so much chemistry with him when we were chatting and none in person. Or you might have had times where you met someone out and about and there was so much chemistry and flirting and everything seemed great. And then they ghosted you. Or you found out that they had very different views about something that's important to you. Or you discovered that their vision of life is much different. Maybe they hate travel and they're kind of closed-minded, but you love travel and you're super open-minded. And like, how did I have chemistry with this person? Because chemistry is a lot of times based on old patterns of attachment and longing. And I believe that chemistry is a lot bigger than just physical attraction, but we don't get sold that by the media. So maybe you've felt yourself believing or falling into one of these stories so far, that there's only one, or that if it's the right person, it's effortless, or that chemistry is the same as compatibility, or that it will lead to compatibility. Like, oh, if there's just enough chemistry, it will definitely be compatible. And I've actually seen that to be almost the opposite. Another false story about love is that if we wait long enough, then someone will choose us. They'll just like magically wake up and be like, oh my gosh, this person has been so supportive to me and so available. Like now I can see that and now I want them. That usually is not what happens, unfortunately. So just because you're waiting for someone does not mean that they value you. And just because you're, pardon me, and just because you're staying in the orbit of someone unavailable does not mean that they all of a sudden will see you. And this is so painful. Oh my goodness. I spent a lot of my dating life crushing on people who were not available, who didn't really pay attention to me. And then, if they did give me any attention, I would either overdo it, like give way too much energy back to them, or I would totally freeze and shut them out. So, for me, someone being unavailable is a little bit of my catnip. It's a little bit of the thing that I just find myself drawn to, even though it's not healthy for me. And this one, along with like unrequited love, I think is totally propped up in the media. There's so many stories of, oh, he was a bad boy. He was unavailable. He had a girlfriend. He, was a partier. He just wasn't ready. He was with someone else. He, never thought of himself as being a relationship sort of person. Like, there's just so many examples of that sort of person all of a sudden being like, oh, but you know what? This woman actually, yes, I can't believe I haven't noticed her before. And I hate seeing those movies and shows because I think it sets up this really unrealistic expectation. Because available people choose available people, and unavailable people tend to choose unavailable people. And so they're going to be chasing something and maybe never quite getting there. And I don't want you waiting for someone like that. I know I'm being a little harsh here, but I think it's important to dispel the myth and the reality. And the reality is that when I see women get into a healthy relationship, it's 99% of the time with someone who's available and who, from close to the beginning, has said, I want to have a relationship. I'm not sure if it's with you, but I see myself there at some point, even if they're not there instantly. Someone who's willing to be vulnerable, someone who's willing to share their fears instead of keeping everything really close to the vest. So maybe you found yourself waiting, hoping, feeling that tender ache of the unrequited love. That means someone who just isn't available or can't be with you or says that they can't be with you, even though in your head you're like, I don't understand that. Like, seems like you could. And that leads me to the last story, which is that dating has to be suffering. Dating has to be hard. Dating has to be endless swiping or going on hundreds of dates. And that's also not true. I tell this story sometimes of one of my clients who had not gone on a single date in 8 years since her divorce. And within 3 months of working with me, met her now husband. And they have been together since 2016 or 2017. So, it's still going really strong. It's going really well. And so it's not a numbers game, it's an energy game. You don't have to just suffer through dating and do more of the same, hoping for a different outcome. I think Einstein said that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and hoping for a different outcome. But I get why you might do it because no one has taught you probably how to date in a way that leads to partnership. And no one has probably busted these myths before for you. And you may only have the role models of your lineage, your mom, your grandma, your sisters and aunts, and then like friends or colleagues. We don't know what we don't know. And so my hope is that this episode is somehow useful or insightful for getting to the truth of what would really fulfill you and what would be positive inspiration instead of these stories that keep us looping. Because these stories keep people outsourcing our agency. We're like, oh, someone else will do this for me, or it's not up to me. It's up to fate. It's up to God. It's up to astrology. Like, whatever it is, we kind of give our energy to the system instead of to our own empowerment. These patterns also keep us addicted to intensity. It's like, oh, if I feel this intensity, similar to what I probably felt when I was growing up, or if I feel this intensity of anticipation, even if it never leads to fulfillment, like, oh, that's what love is. So we've kind of substituted these other energies for love because we actually don't know what healthy love feels like. We haven't seen it. We might feel like we have a sense of what it is, but maybe we don't feel worthy of it. And again, that's oftentimes because we might be stuck in lineage patterns, stuck in our own attachment style issues, stuck in our own trauma, our own mindset limitations. And again, feeling like we're just waiting instead of choosing. And the thing that all these stories have in common is that none of them actually teach us how to be in relationship. They make it seem very binary and they make it seem very complicated. It's actually not as complicated as you might think. And I'm sorry if it's felt like it has been. It's because there's these things that have gotten in the way. It's because we've learned how to fantasize about love instead of actually creating love. So I want to just cycle back to this idea of chemistry and introduce this idea that I did at the beginning, or I guess return to this idea from the beginning that Coherence. Coherence allows there to be a sense of ease in our system, our nervous system, our body, our heart, our mind, because we're in alignment with who we are. And that includes being aligned with our own attraction and magnetism and sexiness and radiance and all of those things. But that is different. Sourcing our own radiance, sharing our radiance is different than creating chemistry with someone. Because chemistry, and I will tell you this because I studied chemical engineering as an undergraduate, chemistry is based on reactivity. If there's no reaction, there's no chemistry. So chemistry-based attraction is reaction, and we react to something because it's triggering something from who we used to be, from our childhood, from a past partnership. I even believe sometimes this stuff is coded in past lives. There's so many forces that can influence our patterns of attraction, but chemistry is that activation, that reaction. It's rooted in old wounds. It feels intoxicating, urgent, dramatic. We kind of lose ourselves, like falling in love in quotations. And a lot of times it's based on our lower chakras, like our root, which is a sense of fear or safety, scarcity or abundance, and our second chakra, which is again that like sexual desire. And I am all for having a great sex life. And I think that you can actually build that with a healthy partner instead of looking for that and then hoping that the other person is healthy. Coherence means that we feel safe in our body. We feel the capacity to stay present. We can repair after rupture. We have a sense of choice. And it's about feeling regulation with the other person. And instead of feeling like we're bonding on our trauma or bonding on our pain. And it doesn't necessarily mean, though, that it has to feel boring. My relationship with Jason is not boring at all. And I have been in boring relationships. I was married for 5 years to someone that I found incredibly boring. But I thought, well, this is just what I need to do. I need to settle for boring for the illusion of safety. But the truth is, that relationship wasn't that safe because neither of us were taking risks and it ended up not working out. So I don't want you to necessarily look for calm, but I want you to expand what you think of as attractive and look for, well, what do I feel attractive about this person? And can I look at spiritual, mental, emotional levels in addition to, and maybe even kind of before the physical level? I will say, though, that this type of love, this coherent love versus chemistry-based love, it can often feel really unfamiliar. So it might not be boring. It might not be calm. There's still going to be differences that you hold, ways that you challenge each other, ways that you surprise each other. But it's going to most likely feel different, feel unfamiliar. I mean, at this point, I've helped hundreds of women find their partner. And pretty consistently, people are like, you know, it was different, but good. And every woman is going to feel this sense of difference in a different way. But almost all women are like, wow, you know, we just both kept showing up. He was showing up. I was showing up. I knew where I stood with him. He wasn't playing games. He was clear with me. I felt safe to be my full self. And that felt unfamiliar. And in that sense of unfamiliarity, sometimes we psych ourselves out or we start to judge the other person because we're like, oh, well, how could they be, you know, this sort of person? We start poking at them, looking for shadows. And where I'm going with this is most people are chasing chemistry. They're looking for that rush, that high, that love addictions type of energy, the dopamine hit. But really, what most people are craving is coherence, the sense of safety, the sense of alignment, the sense of trust, and attraction. And when we can get to the place where we feel coherent attraction, then that is golden. And that requires looking within and noticing our patterns and allowing ourselves to become more healthy in the ways that we relate. And I personally learned how to recognize this coherence in my own body because I noticed that I would have two modes. I would either kind of shut someone down because I felt like they were boring. I would find the smallest thing to push them away. And I did this most often with men who are actually healthy. Or I would find every hormonal whatever arousal reason to find someone attractive, even if there was no good reason, like logically or on paper. Even if I've had friends be like, "Oh wow, that person is so different than you." And I'm like, "Well, not really, XYZ." You know, it's like constantly justifying it to myself. And I started to notice that coherence in my own body felt like spaciousness. Like I could feel my womb space. I could feel my heart. I could relax and rest instead of feeling anxious and constantly checking my phone. And part of the importance of looking at all of this stuff is to recognize coherence in your body when it's not a high stakes moment. So when you like see someone you're attracted to, that's kind of a high stakes moment. When you are dating someone and you're not sure how it's going to go, that's can feel like high stakes. And so we want to learn coherence in our body in smaller ways with ourselves, with other people, even if it's not romantic, with spirit, with our own intuition. And again, this is so different than feeling butterflies. Like, oh my gosh, I just felt butterflies and it was perfect. Like, butterflies is normally a sign of fear and excitement mixed together because of anticipation of getting a need met that you've never had met before. Or anticipation of getting a need met by someone who mimics someone who couldn't meet your needs earlier. So I would feel butterflies around someone who was aloof and kind of tortured and just couldn't seem to make time for me. Always had like so much in their heads going on. It's kind of intoxicating. They seemed intoxicating because they just seemed so unreachable. And that felt like butterflies to me because I was just constantly anticipating. And that's exactly how I felt growing up with my mom, like constantly anticipating. Oh, is she going to give me affection now? Am I going to feel her attention and her awareness? You know, she was physically there. She didn't actually, you know, like leave us, leave our family, but she was depressed and not fully present a lot of the time. And so it was very easy for me to be drawn to people who weren't that into me, but I wanted them to be. And then this also looked like for me the sense of butterflies of, oh my gosh, this person is like so charming and they make me feel so amazing. And they told me I have a sparkle in my eye. And they just, wow, like really seem to get me. And then, yeah, like soon thereafter, the shoes are dropping. Oh, why aren't you more playful? I like women who are playful, which is obviously like a dig that I'm not playful enough. Or, oh, you thought that I wanted to get married? I don't want marriage. Like, the whole reason I had you go on this trip with me is so I could tell you that I actually don't want to get married ever. And I don't even know if I want to be in like a committed partnership, but I was hoping we could still have a kid together. Like, these are literally things that have happened. I went on a trip that I paid for my own plane ticket on for someone to tell me after he had told me before that he wanted to get married, that he could never see himself getting married and just wanted to have a kid with me, but possibly wanted to have an open relationship. So that was like my dad, you know. There was lots of secrets and saying one thing and meaning another thing and Jekyll and Hyde. And anyway, you're learning a lot about me and my background. But where I'm going with this is that butterflies are that kind of childlike attempt to finally get a need met. And it's that really precious, but also just devastatingly vulnerable. Oh my gosh, maybe this person could finally give me what I want. But the person we're saying that about is almost always someone who is mimicking something in our system and they cannot give us what we want. It's not that I didn't feel butterflies with Jason, but they felt a little bit more like curiosities, curiosities instead of butterflies. It was like, huh, I wonder. And a sense of daydreaming and a sense of also testing, like, okay, we'll see. Yeah, like this seems good so far, but I don't know. We'll see how it goes. So there was a sense of regulation. I was regulating myself. It was so much easier to regulate myself because of the work that I had done on myself and because of who he is and who he continues to be. And both of us being willing to be messy and being willing to lean in and being willing to acknowledge our own part. I think it's very hard to be in a relationship with someone who's like, "What are you talking about? I'm great. I'm fine. Oh, I didn't say that. No, this kind of subtle and not so subtle gaslighting or putting all the responsibility on you. And if you're a woman listening to this, you probably have already been overfunctioning in your relationships, romantic and otherwise, for way too long. So I want something different for you. I know in the back of your head, you might be saying, I want that too, but how? Or like, where? And let me just reiterate that who you are and who you are becoming is so much more important than where. You can meet someone almost anywhere. And I do work with my clients on where to go or how to use the apps, but not without doing the foundational work first. And that's where I want to go with this episode next, is to talk about love is really not like this final destination. Oh, I found someone, we got married, and then okay, cool. That's all set. It's a process, it's an initiation, and it's a becoming. It's a way that we can continue to grow. Our nervous systems get stronger. We work through our shadows. We learn what it's like to be devoted to someone, but with healthy boundaries. And we work through a lot of stuff from our lineage, our communication patterns, ways that we are not showing up fully present. Partnership is going to surface everything that hasn't been integrated yet. Not because it's cruel, but because love wants to make you whole. I believe that's part of the purpose of love, that it's a spiritual path guiding us towards wholeness and authenticity. And that means that we want to choose wisely. We want to choose someone who is also willing to lean in and willing to grow, even if the tools in their toolbox look different, right? Let's say you're really into running. They don't have to be into running. Let's say you like to pull oracle cards. They don't have to pull oracle cards. I mean, it'd be great if they did like running and did like pulling oracle cards, but it's really about them being in integrity with themselves. And the good news is that you can do a lot of this integration work yourself so that you attract someone who's a lot more integrated too. And then that makes things have a greater sense of ease and you can work through your stuff with a lot more grace and a lot quicker. You know, when Jason and I first met, sometimes we would fight and it would take like, I don't know, a day or two to kind of come back to coherence. And then when we got married, we went through a rough patch where sometimes it would be like a week or maybe even 2 or 3 weeks. It is common, unfortunately, that the first year of marriage has a lot of fights because your nervous systems are surfacing all of these things from your lineage. You're kind of taking on each other's karma in that first year and trying to heal as much from the family system as you can, unconsciously most of the time. And then therefore, you're getting really easily triggered. Plus, for some people, you're living together with that person, and maybe you didn't at the beginning of dating. And so it just gets a lot more complicated. But this process is healing. It's not painful, like for the point of being painful. It's an initiation. That means that we step through thresholds. You know, every time we rupture and repair, that's a threshold that makes our relationship stronger, and it makes our relationship with ourselves stronger because we start to believe and trust that. You know, we're actually good at relationship, that we can figure it out, that we don't have to do things perfectly in order to maintain a partnership. So it's not that you have to heal in order to find your partner. It's that finding your partner and creating a healthy partnership will be healing. And in that process of finding a partner is a huge opportunity to integrate and stabilize your own field. So this is a big part of why I created Love Integrated. Love Integrated is my new program, but it's not really a course and it's not information. It's an initiation into embodied partnership. And we're going to be practicing all the ways that we arrive into partnership with nervous system availability, with an understanding of polarity, masculine and feminine energy, but a whole range of other polarities as well, with working with archetypes and expanding our full sense of expression with cultivating a resilient mindset and with looking at our system, like what is this broader system that is influencing who we love and how we love? And could it be possible that my blocks in love actually have nothing to do with me and have a lot more to do with my culture, my religion, my family system, or even what I've brought into this lifetime spiritually and karmically? So in Love Integrated, we're not just going to be doing mindset. This isn't about hacks. This isn't about, you know, reading affirmations for 20 minutes every morning. If you're listening to this, you've probably already tried those things. You're like, yeah, I've done the affirmations. I've done the, $299 course that had like three meditations about calling in the one. I've read the books. But my question for you is, have you recalibrated how love lives in your body? Have you looked at the systems and the larger forces that are shaping your patterns of attraction and shaping your attachment style? Have you been in a circle of women who are fiercely supportive, who also are smart and successful and spiritual? Have you integrated your shadow? Have you identified the archetypes that will really make you more visible and make you even more magnetic? And have you sustained a level of devotion to your love life beyond just the surface? Like, oh, I'm on the apps, or I told my friends I was looking for a setup, or I got my nails done. I'm curious about like this deep, yearning soul level on fire for partnership devotion that's sometimes hard to sustain if we don't have a mentor or a group of other women cheering us on. So, the way that I work with women in love integrated is three different ways. One of which is through a sacred cohort. These are group calls for 2 hours each week where we are collectively recalibrating the nervous systems that we hold, the attachment styles that we've inherited, the lineage burdens that we are carrying unconsciously, the archetypal range that is waiting for us to be in alignment with and waiting for us to reclaim. The sensuality that maybe has felt kind of out of reach because we've judged ourselves or held ourselves to a certain expectation, or to be honest, maybe we've had trauma, sexual trauma that has kept us from really healthily inhabiting our sensuality. That's the sacred cohort. Now, the mentored path is the second pathway, and it's like the sacred cohort. You get all the same group calls and content. I forgot to mention that, but practices and content, but you also get private support. So I have something called the Love Recalibration Series. It's about really mapping out your pathway, your unique pathway to love. And as part of the mentored path, you get that Love Recalibration Series, which is sessions with me and customized practices through that and attuned to that. And then the third option is private mentorship. So you can do Sacred Cohort, which is group calls only, Mentored Path, which is group calls, plus my Love Recalibration Series, or private mentorship, which is just only private work with me, no group calls. I'm kind of on retainer for you. I support you in between sessions via text or WhatsApp. And we go really deep, and it expands beyond just love. A lot of times, women who choose the private mentorship option are also in transition career-wise, or they've been wanting to become an entrepreneur, or they have a gift or a desire on their heart to create something. And oftentimes, that aligns with who they want to call in as a partner. But sometimes, it's also about giving those gifts on their heart, becoming that woman of passion and purpose that helps them find their partner. So, you can feel into your body now, like anything that's landed from this episode. Maybe it's one of the stories that I shared, like, oh yeah, I'm still trying to live that cultural narrative of there's just one, or someone unavailable will just all of a sudden choose me, or I should be looking at chemistry. Or maybe there's a different part of the episode that landed with you, like when I was giving some examples about me and Jason. Or when I was talking about how love is an initiation and a healing path. Maybe it was when I talked about butterflies and trauma bonding and how we kind of anticipate and get addicted to this anticipation. Maybe it was something around rupture and repair and devotion and staying devoted in our path of love. But if something in your body is recognizing itself right now, then trust that. That's a signal to get more information. To reach out to me, you can set up a free call or to go to violetlang.com/love integrated. There is a bonus that's running if you're hearing this in time. You'll see that on the website. And if not, no worries. There's still so much that you'll receive from this container. We are beginning March 19th. That's when the cohort starts. However, private mentorship, I'm taking applications throughout the year. I only work with a few people at a time in that way. But again, go to my website, violetlang.com/love integrated, and you can see a little more about the private mentorship and apply for that. And although we're starting on March 19th, this is something that's going to continue. So you can join whenever you feel the call and trust that the right women will be in the container with you. After the 12 weeks end, if you choose the sacred cohort or mentored path option, you still get a monthly women's group. So you're going to stay in touch with the people who were in your cohort or in the program at the same time as you. And you're going to start to build longevity and continuity so that all that you practice and all the great successes that you have in the program, you get to build momentum on. That coherence is not just about you and your field. It's about the coherence you're creating in your love relationship, whether you're single or partnered. And it's about the coherence of the group field that I hold with all the women who found love and all the women who have worked with me to heal their patterns and their lineage and to expand their feminine range and all of these things. And I'm hoping that by now you can kind of sense in this episode that love isn't something that you find, it's not something you search for or you chase, it's something you practice. It's something that you practice in a group and with a mentor. And it's a rewiring. And it's a rewiring because most of what we saw in our lineage and their relationships, we probably don't want to repeat. Now, if you were like, my parents have an amazing relationship and I would repeat that in an instant, but I'm struggling with something else, then chances are there's something else in your system, culturally or religious, or like I said, past life or something else that's creating that block. It's not all just our lineage, but that is a big part of it. So I am devoted to this safe and sacred space for women to practice love, to get support from me and other women in the group, to integrate their head, their heart, their body, to work with archetypes, and to get to the root of what shapes love so that it can reorganize in the most fulfilling and delicious and easeful way. So if you have any questions, reach out to me. You can email me at violet@violetling.com, or you can go to Love Integrated, violetling.com/love integrated, and set up a time for us to talk. I am so looking forward to this first group. It's already building a lot of energy and a lot of power, and a lot of magic is happening. So I hope you have the most extraordinary love story that you create for yourself that is authentic and deeply your own. Enjoy, and I'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in and turning on for healthy love, because better relationships mean more power, more creativity, and a better planet. If you want more love, pleasure, and power in your life, go to violetling.com/talk